Donna, and I'm here with Pastor Josh, and today we're talking about taking initiative. It's what it is, why it's essential for leadership, and how to harness it more effectively to lead with greater impact. That's all we're going to do in this episode. So talk a little bit, Pastor, about initiative and what you view it as.
Yeah, so I think, piggybacking off of another podcast we did, I think we got to find that mission, that place where we get to lead, where we get to do. But once we have that, I think there becomes this internal thing of I want to see something happen. And so that means I need to take steps. I need to reach out to people, see if they want to be involved with me. I get to do something. I remember the pastor I worked with in New York, he recalls a lot of times his son played football. And it was peewee football, like sixth grade. And the team was just, the sixth grade team was doing absolutely horrible. The coach called him over to him. He circled him up and he's like, just hit somebody. Like, I don't care who you hit, just hit somebody. And I think that describes initiative. Like, if God has given you a call, don't let the holy anxiety stall you out. Just do something. And if it's not perfect, recalibrate. If it doesn't work, recalibrate. Jesus told his disciples, he said, go into all places and tell the gospel and go to these places. And he told them, he sent out the 12 and the 72. And he said, if people reject you, just brush the dirt off your shoes, right? Just and move on. And I think sometimes we have to have, dare I say, a little harder skin in ministry. We go into ministry and we want heaven to open up and the angels to sing.
Right.
Because I've arrived and I've answered God's call and here I am,
right,
and everything's great. You know what? Nobody might care and nobody might notice and nothing might happen. Brush it off and try again. Mm. Right? Like we've got to have that level of initiative that I'm going to try something.
So why do you feel like initiative is a critical trait for an effective leader?
Because you have to do something.
Right.
Right? Like, you know.
True.
You know, let's see. Here's my initiative. I'm going to sit on the couch today and wait for Jesus to tell me what to do.
Right.
Now, he might. He might tell you with the Bible to get off your butt and go do something. But he might not say anything. And so that's why I think we have to have this internal initiative that I'm reading God's word, I'm studying it, I'm seeking God, I'm asking him what I should do, but then I'm going out and I'm doing something. I'm doing something.
Mm. Yeah, it's for me, it's the opposite. I've got a lot of initiative.
Yeah.
And sometimes I set myself up for big failure. So, you know, we're going to have 50 baptized this weekend, you know? And I have to really... it's not about me. It's about what God's doing. But sometimes I want to insert my excitement for it in there. I'm a little Peter-ish. Wash all of me. Yeah. Oh. And I think it's realizing with humility and with, I don't know, maybe focus that God, let God do what God's going to do.
Yeah.
But also do something.
Yeah, and I think to that I have an interesting verse. Is Jesus is feeding the 5,000, right? And the disciples, this is Matthew 14, the disciples come up to Jesus and they say, we have all these people, they're hungry, what are we going to do? And they have actually a solution. They say, Jesus, send them away, give them something to eat. And what does Jesus say? He says, no, you do it. Mm-hmm. You give them something to eat. Now, what's interesting in that, mm-hmm, and I think the leadership lesson in it is Jesus knew exactly what he's going to do.
Right.
He was going to do a miracle. He was going to do something. But what did he do? He let them kind of figure it out. He let them have some initiative to do something.
Right.
Now, their idea was stupid, send them away, right? But he didn't just crush them. He said, what are we going to do? This is what we want to accomplish. And inviting them into it. And I think as we lead, it's important that we have other people with us in that, mm, right? And sometimes we have all this initiative, we want to accomplish this, but am I slowing down to invite others in it with me, or am I just moving forward? And I think as a leader, that's what we do when we have more initiative, we have to stop and say, well, I want to do this, this, and this, and people are just going to slow me down, but how can I invite somebody else into it? Jesus could have just done it, but instead he invited them into it. And I think as we have initiative, when it's maybe, dare I say, too much initiative, like, are we inviting people in that are going to help us?
Yeah, I like that a lot, because that can slow it down a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that you're, I don't know, doing it with a lot of prayer, doing it with a lot of focus, doing it with a lot of purpose.
Yeah.
But it also creates accountability. Mm-hmm. I'm accountable now to these people that I've invited in to keep this moving, to keep it rolling.
Yeah. Yeah, and to slow down and realize that it might. One thing I picked up that I use a lot is that when we're leading people, that their 40% of what I could do with upward mobility is good enough to start. Like, and I think we got to be okay with that, that when we invite other people in to serve alongside of us, maybe I'm leading this and they're not doing it quite right. Or are they doing it 40% with the possibility that they're going to figure it out? Well, then let them do. But I think a lot of times leaders with a lot of initiative, and if that's you listening, like, you want it done a certain way. And if it's not done a certain way, you're just going to roll over and then take it over. But what you do is you actually minimize your mission when you're not getting them on with you. And so I think sometimes we struggle with not enough initiative. Sometimes we struggle with too much. And I would say, you know, if we're struggling with too much, we have to slow down and invite others in and use our initiative to motivate them to be involved, and be okay when it's not perfect.
Yeah, it's been interesting with student ministry and handing that over to Thomas. And Thomas is very capable. He's really got a great vision for it. And I have to just walk away sometimes, and because I don't want it to look the way I did it. I need it to look the way God's calling him to do it. But that doesn't mean it's easy to be a leader like that. Mm-hmm. But I know for its success, it's what I need to do.
Yeah. Yeah, and we have to push people to, right, to have that initiative. Like, if we're high in initiative, how do we teach others to do that, right? And that's part of leadership.
So what are some barriers that prevent leaders from taking initiative, and how can they overcome them?
Yeah, I think it's a good one. I mean, do you have any that come to your mind? She loved this. I mean, the reason why I jumped it back to you is I think, like, I kind of talked about this on a past podcast. I think sometimes our desire for perfectionism stops us, or our desire to, like, I do it well at work, so I can't do it as well at church, so I'm not going to do it. I think those type of things kind of block
fear,
our path.
I think fear will keep people from taking initiative. Like, am I really called to do this? Can I really be the one to do it? What if I mess up? I think it was our last episode that you talked about it starting with the family. And I think sometimes we get paralysis in our family because what if you ask me something I don't know? Or what if my child brings up something that I have no idea about? Well, that's okay. All of that's okay. It's a part of taking initiative. It's a part of leading. And it's okay not to know. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to struggle.
Yeah, and Jesus, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear.
Right.
Right. So when you have a creator God who loves you, not because of what you do for him, but because you're his child, like, the hope is when we focus on that, that casts out fear. But I would just, I guess I would say this too, that you don't have to do it the way someone else would or the way that you think it should be done. You have to be who God has created you to be. And so when that fear kind of grips us or gets at us, you know, just tell it where to go. Like, it doesn't need to be a part of your life. And then the last thing I would say is we got to kind of do just a little work on the idea of, am I called to do this? Like, I think God can work as much through your preparation as he can through little voices inside of your head, right? Like, and so I guess an example for me that I can really resonate with is preaching, right? Like, I can get up and preach and God can change every word I say. Like, does he have the capability of do that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but does that mean that I don't prep for my sermon? No, I and when I prep, it's not, God, I'm praying. Give me the words to say. Now, do I pray in the midst of it? Absolutely. I start with prayer. I pray in the middle. I pray when I'm worried about my sermon. Like, I pray a lot during the course of it. But don't over-spiritualize it. Don't say, well, I get up and preach and I say exactly what God wants me to say because he put the voices in my head. God doesn't give me a voice in my head. I open the Bible. I study the people. I study the Word of God. I think and pray about what people need to hear. God doesn't give me a little voice inside of my head that tells me what to preach. And I think sometimes we want that when it comes to volunteering in the church. Mm-hmm. God, what am I here for? Tell me.
Yeah.
And
right.
Don't wait till he gives you the voice. Use your wisdom and your discernment and then take the initiative and do something.
Yeah, exactly. How can a leader foster a culture of initiative, of taking initiative?
Again, I think it's a lot of it's doing what Jesus did. Like, the more and more I studied Jesus, the more and more I realize as a leader, sometimes I need to intentionally not do it mm-hmm. and intentionally not solve it. Mm-hmm. I mean, when people ask me about it, I put it back on them. I think when I end up and I think we do this sometimes as leaders, we see ourselves as the person that's going to fix it. But we actually do more harm than good when we just put it all on our shoulders. And so, like, there's certain things that you should maybe not solve, so somebody else steps up and does it.
Okay, so as you say that, what's the difference between taking initiative and being impulsive?
I guess taking initiative is, in my mind, and let me know what you think, but is taking initiative is being a little more prayerful,
yep,
a little more focused,
right,
and a little more, dare I say, gentle with it. Impulsive is just, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Whereas initiative is being, I think it's being very intentional.
Yeah, I think impulsivity is me-centered, where I'm at the center of it. And when I'm taking initiative for God, then he's at the center of it. I am praying. I am seeking his will. I am trusting in his direction. Whereas, you know, being impulsive might just be me.
Yeah, and I think I'm okay with that with one caveat. Impulsive is very quick. Initiative takes a little time.
Yeah.
And notice I said a little time. I think sometimes we can say, well, I'm not going to be impulsive, so I'm going to wait a year.
Right.
Like, you know, a year of discernment, just go do something.
Yeah.
Like, add a little bit, not immediate, but add a little bit. I prayed about this for a day. You can pray about something for a day and then go do it. Impulsive is I'm going to do it this second. I'm dropping everything and this is the new thing, right?
Right.
It's bouncing from one thing to another.
So we talked about in the last podcast, what's your next as a leader, for you as a leader. And now we're talking about taking that initiative. And you were right. The two kind of do run together. Mm-hmm. But maybe I'm sitting in a leadership group and I'm just stalled out. I'm tired. Work's tiring, raising my family's tiring, all those things. How do I know what I'm supposed to be doing next? And like you said, how do I just take that next step?
Yeah, so I remember when I was the first pastor in New York, I was given this task. One of my tasks was outreach. So I needed to do stuff in the community. And so I prayed about it for a while. I read scripture, I researched it, I studied it, and it was my job, so really the correlation isn't quite there. But then at some point, I had to just do something. And so I kind of came up with a plan. I was like, we're going to work on joining Jesus. We're going to disciple people to share their faith. We're going to do 3 events every year where we invite the community into our building. And, you know, I'm going to gather a team to do that because I can't do that on myself. So I'd prayed about it, I'd discern it, but at some point, like, that could have been the best plan. And I could have spent 10 more years building the plan, but I had to start doing something. And so I think that's at some point where we can know our spiritual gifts, we can talk about leadership, but you're going to learn way more from trying things as a leader than you will from studying about it or thinking and praying about it. Now, again, don't take out thinking and praying. Don't take out study. But at some point, you do have to say, well, you know, I know enough now to start. And my guess is you're probably there. You probably know enough to start and do something.
Yeah. And if I'm going to start somewhere, where do I start?
Is that a setup?
Yeah.
Yeah, the family.
Yeah.
I think if you have a family, it starts with your family.
Right.
Try things in your family and then take it outside. So start, yeah. How are you talking about faith with your family, with your kids, and don't let the fact that you don't know all their questions stop you. It's okay. One of the greatest things you can tell anybody you're leading is, I don't know that, but I'm going to find out.
Right. Yeah, Joshua's dad, I think about when he would read at night to Josh, and did such a great job reading the Bible. He'd never read the Bible before, but that's where he started, reading a child's Bible. Mm. And that's what really sparked him and I think helped Josh really grow in his faith.
Yeah.
But they did it together, little did Joshua know, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's start where God has you.
Yeah.
Just start there.
Yeah.
And we keep saying that, and it sounds a little redundant, and we said it in the last one, it sounded a little redundant there, but it's the idea of just never getting started that's almost sad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's another good question to ask is, you know, ask who my family, but who are the people around me?
Yeah.
Who are the people that are already around me, and what do they need?
Yeah.
And I think that's a great place to find a place for initiative, because there's a good chance you already love the people around you, you already know the people around you, so how can you lead them? I think this is a podcast, but lead from what you know, and don't worry about what you don't know.
Right.
Lead from what you know. So if we know the Bible's important, then open it with your kids. If you've never read it, you know, maybe read the chapter ahead of time and then read it with them. But like,
if you've read it, why not try leading a class?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you've led a class, then maybe you're called to start getting more active.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's absolutely these things. But you start making these little steps and it's like, oh, I didn't know I could do that. But now that I did that, that makes sense. But just try.
Yeah.
Just try.
Yeah. I love that. All right. Well, thank you so much for today, and thanks for joining us. And we look forward to seeing you at the next leadership, Jesus-centric leadership. Oh, my goodness.
Donna's favorite are the endings.
Yeah.
But we talked about Jesus and leadership, so have a good day.
Yes.